His mercies. Lord, we are grateful for the gift of life. Lord, we are grateful for the gift of life. We do not take it for granted. Go ahead and bless the Lord wherever you're joining us from this morning, or evening, as the case may be, any parts of the world. We have reasons to be thankful. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. We give you thanks this morning. We give you honor this morning. We give you adoration this morning. We bow before the King of glory. We bow before the King of kings. We give you all the glory this morning. Thank you. Holy Spirit, our helper. Holy Spirit, our keeper. Holy Spirit, our protector. Holy Spirit, our preserver. Once again, we have come. Send your word to us this morning. Let your word bring healing. Let your word bring recovery. Thank you, Father, because you reign and rule over all our times together in your presence this morning. We'll leave an impartation upon our lives. We give you the glory. Things will never be the same. We'll never be the same. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I want to say a pleasant morning to all of us, wherever you're watching this broadcast from this morning. I want to say a big thank you for joining us online this morning for an unforgettable online experience. I want to trust that you are keeping well in this season that we are living in. There's no doubt about the fact that we are living in challenging times, but we are confident of the fact that He who holds tomorrow, who is our maker and our creator, has us all covered. So this morning, I'm so excited at the opportunity of bringing God's word to us this morning. I'll be starting a series of messages this morning that is titled How to Prosper in a Time of Crisis, or Prospering in a Time of Crisis. Prospering, or How to Prosper in a Time of Crisis. Our text this morning will be taken from 2 Kings, the book of 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm going to read from verse 24. I won't read to the end. Then we jump to chapter 7. We read verse 1 and verse 16. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine. Notice that there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass head, or the head of a donkey, was sold for 80 pieces of silver. That's like $50 in some other translation. And the fourth part of a calf of a dove's dung, that is a pint of dove's dung, was sold for 5 pieces of silver. That's like $3. And the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, that cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord does not help thee, where shall I help you? Out of the barn floor, or out of the winepress?" And the king said unto her, "What aileth thee?" And she answered, "This woman said unto me, give me thy son, that we may eat him today, and we'll eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her, on the next day, give me your son, that we may eat him. And she hid her son." This is a very pathetic situation. It came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes and passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth upon his flesh. Sackcloth in the Bible is indicative of a season of mourning or grieving. Let's jump to chapter 7 because of time. Then Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Verse 16. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. If you follow this text carefully, you will agree with me that this is a very pathetic situation that the nation of Israel found themselves. This was a situation of crisis. It was a crisis situation. There was a great famine in the land. There was inflation, not just inflation. It got so bad that people were eating their children. People turned to cannibalism. That was how bad things were. Things were so bad that they began to eat their children. Now, this is a crisis situation. There's no doubt about the fact that what we are facing in our world today is also a crisis situation. The world is in a stage of crisis. What does the word crisis mean? The word crisis means a time of intense difficulty or danger. A time of what? Intense difficulty or danger. What does crisis also mean? Crisis means a time of great disagreement, confusion, or suffering. What is crisis? Crisis is an extremely difficult or dangerous part in a situation. I was checking up on one meaning of the word crisis, the root meaning, because I like to examine words from their root meaning. The word crisis is from a Greek word that is known as krisis. It's spelled K-R-I-S-I-S. K-R-I-S-I-S. And the word krisis, we get the word crisis from in the English language, is a very interesting word. That word krisis actually means a turning point in a disease. A turning point in a disease. What does that mean? That is the point at which somebody who is recovering from a disease either gets better or gets worse. That's why they call it a turning point in the disease. It could swing either way. It could swing in the negative or the positive. Now, that word, that turning point in a disease, also means a critical moment. That is the situation of our world today. We are living in a critical moment. And the word crisis also means an emergency event. That is what is happening all across the world right now. With the lockdown, with the shutdown, with the stay at home or the sit at home or whatever you want to look at it. It's a crisis situation. It's a critical moment. A time of crisis is also a time of testing. There's never been a time whereby the faith of people has been tested at such a time as this. So a crisis is a turning point or a difficult or dark time when disasters are happening and when tough decisions need to be made. That's the kind of scenario we're living right now in the world. And I want you to know that because of what is happening, the hearts of men are failing or fainting. Luke 21 verse 26, the Bible says the hearts of men will fail because of fear, for looking upon the things that will come upon the heart, because the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the kind of scenario that Israel found himself. This is the kind of scenario that we find ourselves in our world. And what I'm trying to bring to you this morning, God's word that I'm trying to bring to you this morning, is that it is possible even in such a time as this to prosper. What does it mean to prosper? The word prosper means to excel in all that is good and desirable. The word prosper means to succeed. Now, I know that there's been so many projections. People are talking about pay cuts. People are talking about downsizing. People are talking about job losses. People are talking about recession. There's so many postulations. There's so many negative tendencies that we are hearing about the world being in a recession already. There's so many things that people are already projecting. And these things are indicative of the season or the crisis that we are in. But I want you to know that God's will and God's plan for you as a child is to succeed. Listen, it is possible to succeed. It is possible to prosper in a trying time as we are in right now. It is possible for your head to rise above the waters. It is possible for you to walk upon your high places. Listen to this. Our God specializes in turning a curse into a blessing. Deuteronomy 23 verse 5 and the book of Nehemiah 13 verse 2. It says God can change a curse to a blessing. Now, I want you to know that God, out of this mess, will give you a message. Listen. God, out of this trash, will bring forth a treasure. And I want you to know God will turn your mystery into a ministry. Listen, I want you to know that it is possible to prosper. You and I can prosper even in a time of crisis. And as you, if you follow the story, the narrative of the story that I read to you this morning, it is clear that God made a way for his people. God will make a way for you in the name of Jesus. God will not allow your foot to be taken. God will not allow your foot to be taken. Listen to me. Psalm 46 verse 1 says God is a refuge. God is our refuge, a very present help in the time of need. That's why you will not be afraid. Listen to this. Is it possible to prosper in a time of crisis? The answer is yes. I'll give you two reasons. Why I am fully persuaded that in this season of crisis, in this challenging, trying times, your head will be above the waters and your head will be lifted up above your contemporaries in the name of Jesus. Two reasons why we can prosper, why you will prosper and you should prosper in a time of crisis. Number one, because of the testimony of the Word of God. Listen, when you look at scriptures, there are a lot of witnesses. There are a lot of witnesses that explains to us, that shows to us that God has promised to help you and I in such a time as this. Are you saying that God will help me? That's what I'm saying this morning. God will help you right where you are. God will send help to you. You will not be stranded. You will not be put to shame in the name of Jesus. I'm going to share some scriptures with this, but I'm not going to quote some of them. I want you to read them so that you can see that there is light at the end of the tunnel. There is hope for you. Even in the midst of this precarious situation, your head will rise above the waters in the name of Jesus. We have a lot of promises. When you look at Psalm 37, for instance, Psalm 37 verse 19, the Bible says concerning the righteous, it says you will not be ashamed in the evil time. That's the time we're living now. You will not be ashamed in the evil time. It says he will satisfy you in the time of famine. That's God's promise. It now said in verse 39, Psalm 37 verse 39, it says, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. So the Lord is your salvation. The Lord is your deliverance. The Lord is your victory. That's what you know. It says he's their strength in the time of trouble. So God has not left you. In fact, he said in verse 40, he says God will help them and deliver them. So we have proofs, validation from God's word that you will prosper in this season. You will succeed in the time of crisis. Your foot will not be taken in the name of Jesus. I quoted the scripture earlier on Psalm 46. Psalm 46 verse 1 says, God is our refuge and our strength. He is what? A very present help. He didn't say a past help. That means he is a continuous source of help. That's why God is not I was. He is I am that I am. He is going to be everything that you need. He is going to be relevant for every situation and every circumstance, and you shall not be put to shame in the name of Jesus. There's a scripture I want to show you. I don't want to quote the scripture. Open your Bibles with me this morning to Job chapter 5. I'm trying to lay a foundation. What I'm going to do with this, message this morning is to lay a foundation on this great and important subject matter, that it is possible to prosper, and you will prosper in this season. You will succeed in this time of crisis in the mighty name of Jesus. Job 5. Look at Job 5, verse 19. I love this scripture. It says, "He," that is God, "shall deliver you in 6 troubles. Yes, in 7, there shall no evil touch you." I love that. Look at verse 20. "In famine, he will redeem you from death." So there's a provision for you that you are going to be secured. "In famine, he will redeem you from death, and in war, from the power of the sword." This is God's word. In fact, by the time you read down to verse 22, because of time, look at verse 22. It says, "At destruction and famine, you will laugh." That will be your testimony. You will laugh. "Neither shall you be afraid of the beast of the earth." This is enough assurance. If you read the book of Psalm 91, that psalm that talks about the protective hand of the Almighty and his ability to keep concerning his own, there's a part in that scripture that I love. I think it's verse 15. It says, "He shall call upon me and I will answer him." God says, "I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him." So you can be rest assured that this is your season of rising in the name of Jesus. I know there is a famine out there. I know that we're in the midst of crisis. But listen to me, you will rise against the storm in the name of Jesus. That's the first reason why I want you to know that you can prosper in a time of crisis. Second reason why I know you can prosper and you will prosper in a time of crisis is because of the testimony of those who have prospered for such a time as this. Listen to this. One thing I discovered also, most of the great discoveries that have been made in our world were made during the time of crisis. So that is for you to know. That is for you to understand that for covenant people, if God did it for the likes of Jacob, Jacob lived under a very, very difficult system. He was living under his uncle Laban, very wicked taxmaster. Now, it was a difficult system for him to break even. But listen, God prospered him under a wicked taxmaster. As if to say that was not enough. If you look at Isaac, Isaac lived in the time of famine. Genesis 26, you will see that he prospered in the time of famine. The Bible says in Genesis 26, verse 16, "And the man was great and went forward and grew until he became very great." Now, that's to tell you that if God could do it for these people, God will do it for you. Romans 10 verse 12 says, the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Do you also notice that during the time of the plagues in Egypt, when God sent plagues to Egypt, do you know that God kept his people in the land of Goshen? They were not a partaker out of the plague. They were kept. In fact, when they left Egypt with riches. Now, Egypt was down to his knees. If you read Psalm 105 verse 37, the Bible says he led them forth. Concerning the children of Israel, he led them forth with silver and gold. There was not one feeble person among the tribes. Listen to this. God has proven time and time again that he is committed to keeping his own. He is committed to prospering you. So let your heart be encouraged. This is not the time to surrender. This is the time to be stronger. This is not the time to cry. This is the time to be courageous, because you will prosper in this season. I say you will prosper in this season. I say you will succeed in it. Your head will be lifted above your contemporaries in the name of... Your head will be lifted. You will rise above the storm in the name of Jesus. You know something I discovered again? When I look at the story of Joseph. Do you know that God raised up Joseph? Joseph prepared Egypt for the time of difficulty that was ahead, the famine. But one thing that I found very amusing was that during the time of famine, did you know or notice that the family of Joseph, they enjoyed unusual favor? They had access to food that they did not pay for. They have access to accommodation that they did not pay for. Listen, Joseph sent for them. They brought them into Egypt. They settled them in Goshen. Listen, while the famine was going on, there was not one person that lacked among the family of Joseph. His father, his brothers, his siblings, their children. That's why I know you will survive this famine. I know you will succeed in this famine in the name of Jesus. We need to begin to brace ourselves up. This is the time for you to innovate yourself. This is a time for you to re-engineer yourself. This is a time for you to discover yourself, because your best days are ahead of you. I want to prophesy to somebody here this morning. Your best days are not behind you. Your best days are still ahead of you. And I declare in the name of Jesus, although the world is in a time of crisis, it's a critical moment for you. It shall be your time of lifting. It's going to be a season of rising for you. Going to be a season of lifting for you. Your foot shall not be taken. Listen, the waters will not overwhelm you. Your head will rise high and above the waters and the storms of life in the name of Jesus. So be encouraged this morning. You know one thing I know about God? God is not the respecter of persons, he's the respecter of faith. If he could do it for the covenant people of old, he would do it for you. Listen, you have a better covenant. You and I have a better covenant. Hebrews 8 verse 6 says we have a better covenant that is established on better promises. That's why I know if God went to this extent for Joseph, this extent for Isaac, this extent for the nation of Israel in the book of 2 Kings chapter 6 that we read, he will go much more farther for you. I want you to begin to see that although the world is in a time of crisis, it's going to be a time of lifting for you. It's going to be a time of promotion for you. If you believe that, say better amen. Now, like I did mention, we are laying a foundation, because what I want to share with you, or what I'll be sharing with you, is that I'm going to be sharing with you principles and strategies of how God prospered, of how God rather took care of his people in a time of famine. Listen, if we are going to prosper, if you are going to succeed in a time of famine, there's a way God wants to do it. There are strategies. There are principles. Because listen to these. If he did it for those of old, he showed them a particular way of doing this. And that same principle will work for you. Bring you out of captivity. Bring you to the place of destiny in the name of Jesus. Now, like I did mention, before I start sharing with you the strategies and the principles that will help you and I to prosper in a time as this, I want to share with you today, for the purpose of this message today, five very important things that you need to pay attention to. There are things we need to pay attention to. If we are going to prosper, Proverbs 4 verse 20, it says, my son, attend to my words, incline your ears to my saying. 21 says, let them not depart away from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? 22 says, they are life unto those that find them and medicine. What are the things that I need to pay attention to? These things are so vitally important. They are critical. They are critical and crucial to your rising in the time of crisis. And there are five of them I want to make mention this morning. As you go with me on this journey, I pray you will find illumination. I pray you will have an encounter. I pray you receive understanding in the name of Jesus. What are the things that I must pay attention to if I'm going to succeed in a time of crisis like we're living right now? The first thing is that you must be willing to do things differently. This is very important. This is a very important thing we must pay attention to. You see, you cannot keep doing things the same old ways. One of the thoughts that God brought to my mind is that we cannot afford to be doing things the way we're doing before the, you know, this COVID-19 saga. We need to begin to do things different. You can't afford to be running your business. You can't afford to be running ministry. You can't afford to be doing life. Whatever you are doing in life, ministry, I mean vocation, profession, career, even family. Listen, the world will never remain the same again. So if the world has changed, you too need to change. This is something we must pay attention. We cannot keep using the old templates to solve the problems of this current situation. Listen, you must replace old wise cane with new wise cane if you are going to provide solutions to the problem that we're facing right now. This is the first thing we must pay attention to. You can't keep using the same approach, the same strategies. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you ready to do things in a new way? Are you ready to change the way you do things? One of the areas you and I need to make changes is that you must be ready to make tough decisions. That's part of the things you must do differently. You must be ready to make what? Tough. See, after me, say tough decisions. Listen, that is what it requires if you are going to succeed in the time of famine. If you are going to prosper in a time of crisis, you must have the guts and the courage to make tough decisions. You know, there's a story in the book of 2 Kings chapter 8. The Shunammite woman, the woman that God used for Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 4, there was a famine in the land. And Elisha told her, leave this place. Go somewhere else. Famine is coming for 7 years. Do you know she had to relocate from her place of nativity? A place of birth. She went somewhere else for 7 years. Now that's a tough decision. If she was adamant, if she refused to say, this is the place I was born, I have too many links here. Listen, she will have perished in the time of famine. You must be willing to do things differently. You know, for Jacob, when he served under Laban, when God gave him that revelation, Genesis 31, verse 10 to 12, of how he was going to make it. Do you know that he needed to change the way he was doing things under Laban. He needed to change the way he was operating under them. Otherwise, that miracle, that breakthrough would not have taken place. And when you look at the story we read, 2 Kings chapter 7, you know, if not for the lepers, those four lepers, they were the ones that God used to bring relief, to bring solution to Israel. But do you know, according to the law of Moses, as a leper, you are supposed to be an outcast. But you see, the lepers were willing to do things differently. They took the initiative. This is a matter of crisis. This is a critical moment. We discard this order because we need to save lives. I'm saying to you this morning, if you and I are going to survive and succeed in this time of crisis, we must do things differently. That's the first and important decision you need to take. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you ready to do things differently? One definition of insanity is to keep doing things the same way and expect different results. Listen, the world has changed. In fact, let me say this, the world will never be the same again. So you can't use the old template you were operating. Listen, pre-COVID-19, listen to this, you must change the template now. The way you do business must change. The way you do ministry must change. The way you do life must change. We must be willing to embrace a new way of doing things. Otherwise, we may not survive the famine. I see you survive. I see your head rising above the waters. I see you rising above your competitors and the competition in the name of Jesus. That's the first thing we must pay attention to. We must be ready to do things differently. You know, when there was a famine in the time of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17, you know, Elijah had to do things differently. God said, leave this place. Go to where? The brook of Cherith. Verse 2. I have commanded the ravens to... Now, that's not the usual way Elijah operated. He had to change his strategy. Go where? The brook of Cherith, to be what? Fed and sustained by ravens day and night. Now, if he was stubborn, if he remained where he was, he would have died in the famine. And by the time the brook dried up, God told him, verse 9, your time is up. Go where now? Zarephath. I have commanded the widow woman to sustain. Listen, we must be willing to change our strategies. We must be willing to change the way we do things. Listen, if we are going to survive this, if we're going to survive post-COVID-19 era, and I'm declaring to you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the courage to be willing to do things differently, receive in the name of Jesus. Wherever you're watching me from this morning, declare, say, I will begin to do things differently. Say, I will begin to do. Listen, that is one of the fundamental requirements we have to pay attention to if we're going to prosper in the time of famine. Number two. Second thing you and I must pay attention to if we are going to prosper in the time of crisis is that you must be ready. You must be ready. You must be prepared, rather. You must be prepared. It's the same thing. The word prepared means to be ready or to be set, to be equipped. We must be prepared. Ladies and gentlemen, you must be prepared. Or let me ask you a question. How prepared are you? How prepared are you for post-COVID-19 era? That is life after COVID-19. How prepared are you with regards to life now under COVID-19? Your preparation must be top-notch. Your preparation must be over and above. It is better to over-prepare than to under-prepare. The problem of life, with most people, rather, is that people under-prepare. If you are going to succeed in this time of crisis, your preparation must go to another level. Years ago, I had a quote that was said by one of my mentors. He said, proper preparation will prevent poor performance. Proper preparation will do what? Prevent poor performance, whereas poor preparation will promote poor performance. So if you are poorly, performing, it's because you are poorly what? Prepared. I want to ask you a question this morning, dear saints of God. How prepared are you for this crisis? How prepared are you for life under COVID-19? Life after COVID-19? The reality is that most people are not ready. One wise man by the name of Alexander Graham Bell, the man who founded the invention of the telephone, he said, before anything else, preparation is the key to success. I say it again. Before anything else, preparation is what? The key to success. And listen, there's no way you can succeed in any adventure or venture of life if you are not ready. The motto of the Boy Scouts is what? Be prepared. That motto was was crafted by a man known as Bendon Powell. The man said, he wrote that motto for Boy Scouts, be prepared. And when they were saying, why did he choose that? He said, because the concept it was that they wanted every Boy Scout to always have a readiness of mind and body for any duty or any assignment. That's the way you and I need to live also. We need to have a readiness of mind, readiness of body for any duty or any assignment. Look at what has happened right now. Look at how the wall, well, where the wall is right now. There was a man by the name of Jotham. 2 Chronicles 27 verse 6. The Bible said Jotham became mighty, or Jotham became successful. Why? He prepared his ways before the Lord his God. You know, today we talk about the success of Solomon's temple. We talk about the glory, the splendor of that temple. But you know something? You have to give kudos. You have to give credits to David. David was the one who sufficiently and abundantly prepared for the building of the temple. You can see the story in 1 Chronicles 22. 1 Chronicles 22 from verse 2 to 5. He said in verse 5, the latter part, he says, I will therefore now make preparation for it. And the Bible says, David prepared abundantly before his death. Every item that was needed for the temple, he prepared in excess. That's how to prepare. You know, a wise man once said, success comes when opportunity meets with what? Preparation. Listen, if you're going to survive and succeed in this time of, crisis, you must be adequately prepared. The great Abraham Lincoln, one of the founding great presidents of America, said, I will prepare and someday my chance will come. You see, for you to maximize the moments and the chances that life will bring your way, you must be prepared. I want to challenge you this morning. This is something you have to pay attention to in this time of crisis. How prepared are you? And when I talk about preparation, you must be prepared spiritually. You must be prepared emotionally. You must be prepared physically. You must be prepared mentally. You must be prepared financially. You must be prepared relationally. You must be prepared professionally. You see, you must prepare. Your preparation must touch every area of your life. You can't leave any part of your life untouched. I want to challenge you this morning. How prepared are you? Listen, if you fail to prepare, you are preparing to fail. That's what it means. So that's where you have to pay attention to your preparation. You know, among the countries of the world that has survived and seem to have curtailed successfully the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic is South Korea. And I was reading something about that country. You know, years before now, I think it was 2005. I'm not too sure whether 2005 or 2003. You know, they had an epidemic of the SARS breakout. SARS means, you know, it's a shortened word for severe acute respiratory syndrome. It broke out. Listen, based on the experience of SARS, they had been adequately prepared to handle the experience of COVID-19. They are not the only country. Countries like Taiwan too. Listen, that's to tell you the place of preparation. So if you are going to succeed in a time of want, a time of crisis, be prepared. Look at me this morning, wherever you're watching me from this morning. I want you to declare to yourself that I will get myself ready. I will get myself in place. Please, this is not the time to sleep. This is not the time to slumber. This is the time to be prepared. You know, if you are going to maximize the opportunities that post-COVID-19 will bring, you must be ready. It is those people who are ready that will be able to take up advantage of the opportunity. May God get you ready. May Jehovah get you ready. I declare in the name that is above every name, you will not be sleeping when you need to be awake in the name of Jesus. The windows of opportunity will not pass you by in the name of Jesus. That's the second thing you must pay attention to. The third thing we must pay attention to, if we are going to prosper in a time of crisis, is that we must be proactive. You must be proactive. Listen, Jacob was proactive. That's why he survived the famine. I mean, when you look at Joseph, Joseph was proactive. That's why he survived. Elijah was proactive. That's why they survived the famine. If we are going to succeed in this time of crisis, you have to be proactive. What does it mean to be proactive? It means to be action-oriented. What does it mean to be proactive? It means to be intentional. What does it mean to be proactive? It means to take initiatives. Listen, you don't wait for things to happen. You make things to happen. Most of the time, indecision is one of the greatest enemies of your destiny. Listen to this. You have to be decisive. This is not the time to play games. If you are going to beat the opposition, if you are going to survive in this crisis, you must be proactive. When you are proactive, you are not passive. Most of the time, people are reacting to life instead of responding to life. There are two different things. When you are in a reactive mode, you will just be listen, when you're in a reactive mode, there's nothing you can do about it to change it. But when you're in a responsive mode, you're a step ahead. God will get you a step ahead. You'll be a step ahead of your position, a step ahead of this crisis in the name of Jesus. See, people who are proactive, they think, they reflect. People who are proactive are not folding their hands. Like in some of the videos I put out on social media, when I was encouraging people on the need to be proactive, you see, the tendency is to be passive. The tendency is to be an onlooker. The tendency is to be a spectator. Listen, you can't afford to be a spectator. God made it to be a catalyst. A catalyst determines the rate of chemical reaction. You are supposed to be an influencer. I want to pray for you this morning that God will raise you up from anything that is making you to be inactive and passive in the name of Jesus. Say after me, say, I will be proactive and not passive. Listen, it is proactive people that what? Turn a time of crisis to a time of what? A time of lifting. And it is important for us to be proactive. The Bible says, redeeming the time, Ephesians 5:16. Because the days that we live are evil. When you are proactive, you will use this season very well. When you are proactive, you will work on your goals and your life dreams. When you are proactive, you will take time to think and reflect. When you are proactive, you will not use your time anyhow. When you are proactive, you will add value. You will make sure that the things that you do are things that add value to your life. It's good. It's very important for us to take our rest during this season. That's one of the ways you can be proactive. But you see, because rest will also help you to recharge your battery and recharge your mind. But the bottom line is that when you use these times very well, you will come out stronger in Jesus' name. You know one thing about passive people? Passive people always pass up opportunities. When you're passive, you will not be able to what? Maximize opportunities. I went to a program some years ago and somebody was defining poor. P-O-O-R. It defined poor with an acronym. It said poor means passing over opportunities repeatedly. I say it again. Passing over what? Opportunities repeatedly. That will no longer be your story. I said that will no longer be your story. The tide is changing in your favor in the name of Jesus. This is not the time to be full of excuses. When you look around now, a lot of people are making excuses. It's a time to be proactive with your time. Proactive with your talent. Proactive with your treasure. Do you know that some people are smiling to the bank even at such a time as living at this? Some people are making money in this season. Yes. That's the reality. Some people are smiling to the bank even in this season. It depends because they are proactive with their talents. They are proactive with their time. You too can be proactive. Don't just fold your hands. Don't just be, in the words of Lake Bolaige, see, don't look kind of approach. It's time to move into action. If the four leprous people remained where they were, they would have died in the famine. That's why they say, why sit here all day and die? If we sit here, we will die. If we go to meet the armies of Assyrians, there are two options. They may kill us or spear us. But whichever way, we refuse to sit down. I want to challenge you this morning. Whatever is making you to be docile, whatever is making you not to be proactive, I break that stronghold over your life in the name of Jesus. This is one of the things we must pay attention to if we're going to prosper. Let me move on in this season. Number four, we're looking at things we must pay attention to if we are going to succeed in the time of crisis. Number four is that you must have a different mindset. You must have a different mentality. You know one thing I discovered? We don't all have the same mentality. We live under the same sky, but we don't have the same perspective. And listen to me, your perspective is important. Your perspective is what is going to determine your placement. I say it again. Your perspective will determine your placement or your position. Listen to this. It's important for you to realize that. People are saying, I don't know why I'm not promoted. Listen, you cannot be promoted if you still have the same old mentality. I told you earlier on, the world has changed. The world will never be the same again. That's why your mind too must change. Ephesians 4:23 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You can't be thinking the same way you were thinking before coronavirus era. Listen, we must put on a new mentality. Now, when I say a different mentality, I mean the following. You must put on what? A new mentality. That's number one. You must put on a right mentality. That's number two. You must put on, number three, what I call a better mentality. Then number four, you must put on what I call a positive mentality. That's what it means to have a different mentality. Your mentality is now new. Your mentality is now right. Your mentality is now what? Positive. And your mentality is better. Listen, there's no how you have a victim's mentality and you become a victim. Listen, some people have this entitlement mentality. Entitlement mentality will not make you to prosper in a time of famine. A time of crisis as this, entitlement mentality means nothing. That's why you have to change your mentality. Listen. If you have a coward mentality, you can't be a champion. If you know the story of the children of Israel, Numbers 13, when they send the spies out, do you know that the reason more than the generation that left Egypt that was 20 years and above perished was because of their mentality? You can read Numbers 13 from verse 30 to 33. You will discover and you will notice that their mentality kept them in the wilderness. Their mentality made them to die in the wilderness. Psalm 81 verse 10. God says, open your mouth wide. What will happen? I will fill it. The Bible says in verse 11, they did not hearken unto him. They refused to hearken to that. And the Bible says in verse 16, if they have hearkened unto me, God said, I shall have fed them. I shall have fed them with the finest of the wheat. And I've satisfied them with the only honey. Look at what they missed. You will not miss out in this season. You will not miss out. Listen, there's a gold mine waiting for your discovery. You will not miss out on it. There's a pot of blessing for you in this time of crisis. You will not miss out in the name of Jesus. Let's put on a new mentality. Please, don't have the mentality you used to have. Before COVID-19 pandemic. You must put on a new mentality now. You must, listen, the way you see things must be different now. That's one meaning of mentality. The way you look at things, your perspective, your opinion, your perception must change. You know, until Jacob was willing to change his perception, he remained poor in the house of Laban. The day he changed his perception, and began to embrace a new mentality, that's when it's rising. Somebody is rising out of the doldrums. You are rising into your destiny in the name of Jesus. The place where God has prepared for you, you will enter into in the name of Jesus. Let's put on a new mentality. Let's put on a new mentality. Let's put on, listen, I know we don't see things the same way, but we need to begin to change the way we see things so that we can enter into our destiny. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I love those four leprous people in 2 Kings chapter 7. They had a different mentality. I know, under the law of Moses, we are not supposed to mingle with people, but no, that law will not stop us now. They took on a new mentality. They took on a better mentality. That's why they took the initiative. Went to the Syrians. When they got there, they met dead bodies because God has gone ahead. Listen, until you move, God does not move. God wants you to act on the convictions he has put into your heart. You cannot walk on waters if you stay in your boat. The way you walk on the waters of life is when you have the conviction to step out. I pray for you this morning. I declare that your old way of thinking, old mentality, stinking thinking will not hold you down in the name of Jesus. A new mentality, a new perception, receive in the name of Jesus. And you know something? You know, our mindset will change based on what? Your mindset will change based on, number one, the kind of people you are listening to. So who you listen to matters. Number two, the kind of information you have access to. Then who you are hanging out with. Then finally, what you are thinking about. Let us pay attention. Listen, you can't be a victor if you have a victim's mentality. I pray for you this morning. Whatever form of thinking, whatever form of perspective or perception that is going to keep you in Egypt instead of advancing into your promised land, I break it off you in the name of Jesus. Say after me, say, I embrace, I receive a new form of thinking and mentality in the name of Jesus. Then finally, the fifth thing you need to pay attention to if you and I are going to prosper in this time of crisis is that you must be ready to learn. This is very crucial. This is one of the important things you must pay attention to. You see, we never graduate out of the school of life. Anybody that has graduated out of the school of life will soon become obsolete. You will soon become irrelevant. You will soon become, you'll become outdated, and you're on your way out of this world. Listen to me. If you and I are going to prosper in this time of crisis, we must be ready to learn new things. We must be open to learning. I was thinking about this during the week. Do you know that your capacity to learn is what qualifies you for increase? Many people are praying for increase and they are not expanding their knowledge base. They are not expanding their capacity to learn. You can't receive increase without expanding your capacity to learn. Your capacity to learn also is what increases your capacity to earn. Your earning capacity is determined by your ability to learn. So if you want to earn more, you must learn more. Very important. Another thing I discovered about your capacity to learn is that your capacity to learn is what qualifies you for leadership. Listen, they say, today a learner, tomorrow a leader. Listen, one of the attributes of leadership or a leader is that a leader has this immense capacity for learning. If you are not learning, that means you are not growing. If you are not growing, that means there is no progress. If you are not a learner, you can't be a leader. You want to be a leader of the pack, a leader in your generation, a leader in this time of crisis, please expand your capacity to learn. I also discovered again that your capacity to learn is what qualifies you for promotion. So if you're not learning, you're saying no to promotion. Then very importantly also, your capacity to learn is what determines your level of competence. You know, people wonder, why am I not this competent? If you want to increase your competence level or levels, you do that by expanding what? Your capacity to learn. Listen, this is one thing you must pay attention to. Anybody that is going to learn, listen to this, must have two attributes. You must be hungry and you must be humble. I know you have had this saying before. You can't teach an old dog, new tricks. I hope you are not that kind of dog. I once had this story about a young man who came to meet Socrates. Socrates used to be the wisest man in his time. He came to meet him and said, "Hey, sage, I want to be as wise as you are. Please teach me. Teach me your wisdom. Impart me wisdom." He said, "Really?" He said, "Follow me." So he took the young man, started going to the waters. As they were entering the water, they entered so deep into the water, water got to his loins. And you know what he did? He took the head of that boy and dipped it under the water. Dipped it for some time, brought it out, asked him, "What do you want?" He said, "Knowledge." Dipped his head again into the water. Dipped it longer, brought it out. "What do you want?" Knowledge. Dipped it again, longer. By the time he brought out the taunt and said, "What do you want?" It was God saying, "I want here." He said, you got the message now. He said, the day you are that hungry or this hungry for knowledge, that's when you become wise. And it's the same thing. You cannot improve. You can't be knowledgeable. You can't gain wisdom without a hunger and a desire. That's what the Bible says in Matthew 5 verse 6. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Proverbs 4 verse 5 says, "Get wisdom, get understanding." There's a price to pay for wisdom. I pray for you this morning that your capacity to learn will go to another level in the name of Jesus. You know, I discovered something. I may not finish on all the points, but I've just probably drop something before I leave. I discovered there are various stages in the learning process. Every one of us were at one stage or the other. According to I listened to a message of years ago, somebody gave four stages. He said there are four stages in the learning process. Number one, the fourth stage is unconscious incompetence. Unconscious what? Incompetence. This is where you don't know what you don't know. This is where we all start from. You don't know what you don't know. And listen, as long as you don't know what you don't know, listen, you may likely suffer. Then the second stage is the stage of the conscious incompetence. This is when you know that you don't know. You know, at times some people don't know that they don't know. I mean, you can be an anointed ignoramus person or anointed ignorant person. I've told this joke before of a friend of mine who, first time of traveling out of the country, you know, when he got to the airport, they checked in his good, checked in his passport, everything, and they said, "Okay," gave him his boarding ticket, "you can go." He said, "Please, what about my bags?" He said, "Don't worry." I said, "No, you want to use where you for me?" "No, I must go with my bags." Now, the reason he was doing like that, because he had the mentality of when you bought the vehicle from a park. When you go to the garage to board the car, you put your eyes on where they put your bags. He said, "I want to be sure. I know." He said, "Don't worry. Until this Saturday," I said, "you know, this is what has happened. We have tagged your bag. Your bag will not be missing. Your bag will get to where you're going." They had to educate him. Do you know, until he saw, listen, he was blind. He was arguing with them. So being anointed does not mean that you may not be ignorant. So it's impossible. At times, listen to this, there are people who don't know that they don't know, and they argue. As long as you have that mentality, you will not make the most out of this season. Then he says also the third stage in the learning process is the stage of conscious competence. This is when you know that you know. At this level, you are knowing, you are gaining wisdom, you are gaining insight, and things are getting better. Then the final stage that we all need to get to is the stage of unconscious competence. unconscious competence. This is when you know and it begins to happen automatically. It's like autopilot. You don't have to drive it. I pray for you this morning that God will take your capacity to learn to this level in the name of Jesus. Listen, mark my words. Continuous learning is the minimum requirement for success in any field. If the potters who had and listened to the four leprous people, if they were not willing to learn from them, they will have shut the door to their miracle. I want to say this to you. God, at times, we use the most unlikely sources and avenues for you to learn something. Please be on the watch out. This season of crisis, there are things to learn. There are people and places that God has appointed for you to learn something that you can profit from, that will make you to rise out of this season of crisis into your place of lifting in the name of Jesus. If you believe that, say a better amen. Lift up your hands with me. Wherever you may be this well, we'll bring the curtain. I mean, the message will close. Declare after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I make the decision this morning that I am willing to learn. I am willing to have a different mentality. I am willing to be proactive. I am ready. I'm not giving excuses anymore. I am willing to do things differently. I will pay attention to these things because it's crucial for my prosperity in a time of crisis. Go ahead and begin to pray. Go ahead and begin to pray. Go ahead and begin to pray this morning. Sikaro sembayakata. Limbro bakaro zegezigera la baba babarara bakatora bakasa. Esora la bata. Limbro namaka tupre de bekasasa. Amprediga susa, Ipranamaga suseriangata la pradabata, Angro sapa, Iprocaso, Ampredigasa, Ampredegeso randa bagusso pradinge prodege, Ampredegise pradaga, Amprediga suseriangata la predebege susa. Hey, go ahead and pray, go ahead and pray, go ahead and pray. Suseriangata, Upradige suseriangata la rala bacaro brabata. So shall it be in the name of Jesus. I want to release your faith wherever you are listening to me from this morning. Lord, I join my faith with the faith of your sons and daughters all over the world. I pray for them that this time of crisis will be a time of lifting for them. I pray in the name of Jesus, you will shine light and illumination. You will teach them on how to profit out of these times so that they will be on top of the situation and not underneath the barren in the name of Jesus. You will rise in this season. You will prosper in this season. You will succeed in this season. Everything that wants to stand in your way, every limitation, I take it out of the way in the name of Jesus. The heavens are open unto you. Your perspective is changing. Receive illumination. Receive insight. So shall it be. In the matchless name of Jesus. Wherever you're watching me from, if you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want to pray with you. Just pray this prayer of faith.